Welcome to Tardi Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Sefer Yeshayahu, Perek 19. The last perek was an enigmatic one about the people living beyond Kush and what they should communicate to the Jewish people at the time of a salvation. This perek is a little bit more clear about who it is talking about, but there's a lot of ambiguity about the rest of the details that makes this perek somewhat hard to understand. The beginning of the perek is a nevuah about the downfall of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, Egypt, is the nation with the longest-running adversarial and tenuous relationship with the Jewish people. It began when Sarah Imenu was kidnapped by Paro when Avraham went down there during a famine and then left with riches. Yosef began life in Egypt as a slave and then ended up as second-in-command. B'nai Yisrael were enslaved in Egypt for 210 years until Hashem freed us with 10 plagues and the splitting of the sea, where we got incredible spoils. Shlomo HaMelech married the daughter of Paro, which was a strong alliance, but also introduced idolatry into the kingdom. Later in the time of Chizkiyahu, and then Yoshiyahu and his sons, Egypt, ruled by different leaders, put pressure on Yehuda. The Navi living during each of these times told the leaders of Yehuda not to ally themselves with Egypt because they were unpredictable and untrustworthy. Many of the elements of the punishment mentioned at the beginning of the perek are reminiscent of the Exodus. The gods of Egypt are shown to have no power, the advisors are recognized as fools, and the Nile, the pride of Egypt, and its kings are destroyed. At the end of this perek, there is another section which describes a shift as the Jewish people are told that they will partner with Mitzrayim and Ashur after the Egyptians face destruction. What that means and when this will happen is a subject of debate. There are three opinions about when this perek occurs. The first opinion, held by Rashi and Radak and is reflective of Chazal, is that this perek takes place in the near future after Chizkiyahu defeats Sancheriv's army. At that time, the Egyptians had already been conquered by Sancheriv. They came up to Israel as subjects of Ashur to help with his battle against Yerushalayim. When the miraculous defeat of Sancheriv occurred, the Egyptians were freed by Chizkiyahu and came to serve Hashem. The second opinion, mentioned by Rashi as well, is based on Gemara in Menachos. He says that this perek happened in the time period of the Second Temple. At the time, there was a Kohen Gadol, Shimon HaTzadik, who you may be familiar with from Pirkei Avos. Before he died, Shimon HaTzadik indicated that his younger son Chonyo should be Kohen Gadol rather than Shimi, the older brother. Either Shimi or Chonyo tricked the other Kohanim. It's a debate in the Gemara who did what, and Chonyo fled to Egypt to escape the conflict. Chonyo set up an altar in Egypt, and one opinion in the Gemara said he was worshipping Hashem, which would match with our perek. Finally, there are those who say that these psukim have not happened yet and are speaking about the days of Mashiach. The Abarbanel explains that these psukim are talking about those who live to the north and the south of Israel. Essentially, there are two geographic world superpowers who are competing with each other. Rav Schwab says that the details are part of an extended allegory. Mitzrayim, which means constriction, isn't an actual location in this perek. It represents a nation that creates restrictions on Jewish life. Ashur means happiness, and Ashur in this perek represents a nation that allows the Jews in exile to have comfort. Ashur and Mitzrayim have been at odds with each other for the entire long exile and with B'nai Israel, but at the end of time, both will partner with the Jewish people and end their suffering. The end of the perek has Ashur, Mitzrayim, and Israel joining together to serve Hashem. Let's begin studying this perek from the beginning. Pasuk 1. Masa Mitzrayim. This is a harsh nevuah against Egypt. Hinei Hashem rochev al av kal. Behold, Hashem is riding on a light cloud. The Malbim says that clouds and rain were viewed as bad omens as they diminished the Nile's status as the source of power, as only the Nile was supposed to provide Egypt with water. If there's rain, the Nile is not that powerful. The ultimate negation of Egypt's power is represented by Hashem coming in on a cloud to punish them, as it indicates the shame and complete domination of the Nile, the symbol of Egypt. The punishment will come quickly, and the Egyptian idols will not be able to save them. The next stage of the destruction is that there will be internal conflict within Mitzrayim. Chazal say that the only vehicle through which one may enjoy the benefits of the world is through peace. In Egypt, Pasuk 2, Yinilchamu ish b'achiv v'ish b're'ehu, ir b'ir mamlacha b'mamlacha. Everyone will fight against his brother, and everyone against his neighbor, city against city, kingdom against kingdom. There will be conflict on all levels, personally and politically, which will heighten any troubles that are happening to them. With these troubles, they will go to their magicians and advisors and idols, but these will not be helpful. Instead, they will be subjugated to a foreign master. Yeshayahu transitions from discussing the collapse of Egyptian society and government to discussing what will happen to the Nile in Psukim 5 through 10. The Nile was a central part of the Egyptian economy. Egyptian engineers constructed canals and irrigation systems to provide water for all the surrounding farmlands. Taking care of the Nile was its own industry and employed construction workers, scientists, and farmers. Farmers harvested naturally occurring plants and also cultivated other exotic plants because of the rich soil. There was a strong fishing industry, which supported fishermen and fishing net makers. Egypt was also the breadbasket of the region. People came from all over to trade for bread and grain, and a secondary economy grew around these traders. This all ended, Pasuk 5, because V'nahar yecharav yavesh, the river shall be drained dry. Then Pasuk 7, Aros al yor, the mosses that grow naturally by the Nile, as well as V'chol mizra yor, the plants that were planted to take advantage of the Nile's ecosystem, dried up and disappeared. Another part of the economy, Hadayagim, the fishermen, and those who catch fish passively via nets, and Pasuk 9, Ovdei Pishtim, those who comb flax to make nets, mourn the loss of their income and are embarrassed by their change in financial stability. Rav Schwab points out how devastating these losses would be to the society. Hayu shasoseha medukaim, the foundation of society will be crushed. The loss of the Nile meant the loss of their religion, their government, their industry, and their prestige. Yeshayahu next discusses another group that will lose its status. In the times of both Yosef and Moshe, Egyptian culture relied heavily on priests and advisors. It is therefore devastating when they find Pasuk 11, Ach Avilim Sarei Tzoan. The nobles of Tzoan are fools. Chachmei Yoatzei Paro Eitza Nivara. The wisest of Paro's advisors have made ridiculous predictions. Their advice is so poor that Yeshayahu asks them, Ech Tomru al Paro? How do you have the audacity to say to Paro, Ben Chachomimani, Ben Malchei Kedem, I am the son of the wise, the son of ancient kings. They have nothing of intelligence to add and cannot predict anything. Pasuk 12, they cannot predict Maya Atz Hashem Tzfakos al Mitzrayim, what Hashem has planned for Mitzrayim. As we have seen in earlier Prakim using this word of Eitza, the plans of man are no match to whatever Eitza, the plans of Hashem, are. The advisors who are centered in Nof, which is Memphis, the capital of Egypt, are fooled by what they see. They give poor advice. This advice is not natural, as Hashem made his advisors confused as if they have, Pasuk 14, Ruach Ivim, a spirit of distortion, a disease where they are confused. Rav Schwab says that we don't know which nation or group it is referring to, but that the world leaders will have a crisis because the leadership are staggering about without cogent thought. Without leadership, Pasuk 16, V'lo yihyeh l'Mitzrayim ma'aseh asher ya'aseh. Nothing can be achieved in Mitzrayim, not by Rosh v'Zanav, not by head or tail, not by the leadership of Mitzrayim, nor by the common people, nor by Kippah v'Agmon, the tall palm tree, nor by the lowly reed, those who are prominent and those who are not. From Pasuk 16 through 25, Yeshayahu details the result of this destruction. The psukim repeat the phrase Bayomahu on that day five times to indicate a progression of changes. The section begins Bayomahu on that day Yiyeh Mitzrayim Kanashim, Egypt will be like women. The pasuk continues explaining what that means. Egypt will be emotional and frightened by the changes Hashem is doing to shake up their society and government. Yeshayahu emphasizes that as with everything else, this is happening purposely. Why? Bipnei atzas Hashem tzavakos asher hu yo'etz alav, because of the plans of Hashem, which he planned against it. Pasuk 18, Bayomahu, on that day, the next thing that will happen is that there will be Chamesh Arim Be'eretz Mitzrayim, five cities in the land of Egypt, who, Midabros Tzfas Knan, speak the language of Knan, and will also be Vinishba'os LaHashem Tzfakos, and will swear to Hashem. This pasuk is challenging to interpret. The interpretation depends on when in history the events occurred. If, as Radak says, this happened after the defeat of Sancheiriv, then this would mean that these Egyptian POWs who were with Sancheiriv were released by Chizkiyahu. They witnessed the great miracle and went back to five cities in Mitzrayim committed to serving Hashem. They built a Mizbeach and offered Karbanos to Hashem and decided to speak Hebrew. The Pasuk called the language which they spoke the language of Canaan to emphasize that Mitzrayim and Canaan, who were both descendants of Cham, were like brothers, so Yehuda, who lived in the land that was formerly Canaan, became as close as brothers to Mitzrayim. They were so committed to their belief in Hashem that they committed Ir HaHeres Ye'amer Ve'echas. One city would be called the City of Destruction. If any of the five cities ever chose to abandon their religious revival, the rest of the cities would destroy it. If the Perek took place during the Second Temple, this Pasuk would be referring to an altar that Chonu built and which the Egyptians used to worship Hashem. The Abarbanel feels that the Egyptians never converted en masse to Judaism, and so this event will take place in the future. There will be a region that devotes itself to serving Hashem. The Mizbeach, whenever it will be built, will be, Pasuk 20, a Laos Ule'ed, a sign and a witness that the Egyptians are committed to Hashem. Should an enemy attack, they can cry out to Hashem. Hashem will send them a savior and a defender who will save them. As a result of this additional intervention, Pasuk 21, V'yadu Mitzrayim et Hashem b'yomahu, the Egyptians will know Hashem on that day, and they will further commit to their worship of Hashem through karbanos, offerings, and vows. In the other Masa'os, when Hashem punishes the other nations, they are destroyed. This is not the case with Mitzrayim. Pasuk 22, V'nagaf Hashem es Mitzrayim nagaf v'rapo. Hashem will first afflict and then heal the Egyptians. When they do tshuva, Hashem will listen to their prayers and heal them. The Malbim points out how differently Mitzrayim is being treated than the other nations we have learned about so far. When the other nations hurt Israel, Hashem destroys them completely. Yet with Mitzrayim, they are forgiven and brought close to Him. The next stage of this process, Pasuk 23, Bayom Hahu, is that there will be a regional peace. There will be a Mesila Mitzrayim Ashura, a paved road so that one could travel from Mitzrayim to Ashur through Yisrael. Mitzrayim will visit Egypt, and Egypt will visit Ashur. Vavdu Mitzrayim es Ashur, the Egyptians and Assyrians will serve Hashem together. Both will recognize the miracles of Hashem. According to Rashi and Radak, this happened after the defeat of Sancheiriv. Anyone who lived in Ashur and was not near Yerushalayim wasn't killed, and all those from Egypt, they both served Hashem. According to the Abarbanel and to some degree Rav Schwab, this pasuk is the key why this perek had to happen in the future. There has never been a time of complete peace and harmony between all world powers. Geographically, Israel is the bridge between two regions, a northern superpower and a southern superpower. Ashur and Mitzrayim represent these two powers. According to the Abarbanel and Rav Schwab, in the future, the superpowers will come to serve Hashem, which is a vision of messianic times. Where will the Jewish people be when Mitzrayim and Ashur are coming to serve Hashem? Pasuk 24, Bayomahu, on that day, Yiyeh Yisrael Shlishiya LeMitzrayim ulAshur. Yisrael will be part of a trio of nations serving Hashem, and Yisrael will be a bracha, a blessing, bekerav haaretz in the midst of the land, as they sit between Ashur and Mitzrayim, reinforcing the faith of both neighboring nations. The final pasuk of our perek tells us that with all this faith of the three nations, Hashem will bless them. Baruch Ami Mitzrayim, U'maaseh Yadai Ashur, V'nachlasi Yisrael. Blessed be my people, Egypt, my handiwork, Assyria, and my very own portion, Yisrael. It seems that Hashem is calling Mitzrayim Ami, my nation, which is a name of affection generally reserved for the Jewish people. Ashur is called the work of my hand, also a term of affection. The Mefarshim are divided when reading the Pasuk. the Metzudas David reads the psukim as they are written and says that at this time, after Mitzrayim does tshuva, Hashem loves them like the Jewish people. Others, like Rashi, add some words to the pasuk and interpret it to mean, blessed is my nation Yisrael, Mitzrayim, through what happened to Egypt, and blessed is my nation Yisrael, my handiwork, because of what happened to Ashur, since Yisrael is my inheritance. With that beautiful image, the parak concludes. Unlike the other masaos, in this parak, Egypt suffered greatly, but then comes close to Hashem and receives blessings, either equal to the Jewish people or less than the Jewish people, but still with a lot of kindness. In this parak, we learn about the destruction of Mitzrayim, which affected all parts of its government, economy, and religion. Eventually, parts of Mitzrayim will serve Hashem and will join with Ashur in this service. One lesson we can learn from this parak is how much Hashem wants to do positive things for people. Egypt has a long history of defiance and making poor choices. When Egypt finally makes a choice with Hashem in mind, Hashem wants to reward them, even according to the Metzudas David, as much as he rewards the Jewish people. We are the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who Hashem has always promised that we will be rewarded in this world and in the world to come, in exile and during redemption. We can take strength that Hashem wants to give us positive things if we only we ask and we do tshuva like the Mitzrayim did in our parak. We can learn another lesson as well. Rav Schwab identifies Ashur in our parak as the world superpower that allows us autonomy and freedom. Mitzrayim represents the world superpower that limits our potential. No matter when and where we are in Galus, there are challenges. Our mission is to use those challenges to grow so that we can incorporate the growth into our essence, and we will be blessed from how we handle these challenges in the time of Mashiach.
Thank you for learning together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.